Are you asleep yet? So this CD was taking ideas from 14 different, it says 14 enchanting ways to fall asleep. So he asked different people to compose things. This was Disturbed, a Lullaby by David Leisner from 2006. I've learned, much to my chagrin, this Spinatron software that we have to log in on. Once you log in, you can't really go back and add things. At least I don't know how to. So it's kind of annoying. But anyway, so that's the person who composed that. And pretty interesting. I could definitely fall asleep to that. I know in preparation for my big trip coming up, I've been kind of rattled trying to, you know, make sure everything is ready and what you're doing, this, that, and the other. So, yeah, falling asleep sometimes it's hard, you know. So the other thing that I did, I went with my friend Mark to the Somerville Museum. They have these wonderful concerts on Sunday afternoon. Now, why isn't this working? Get in there. Ah, okay. Sometimes the CD player just doesn't want to be nice. So we're going to be listening in just a minute to one of the artists that I heard at the Somerville Museum. Now, right now at the museum, they have an exhibition called Faith in a City, Exploring Religion in Somerville, Mass. Selection explores the selection of local religious communities through music, photography, interviews, and history as a way of better understanding the city. So the opening already occurred, but they have hours. Now, that's at 1 Westward Road in Somerville. Museum hours during the exhibit, which goes until January 26th, so you still have a little bit of time. Photographs by lots of different folks. Beautiful. I saw some of it when I was at the museum. And so museum hours, Thursdays 2 to 7, Fridays 2 to 5, Saturdays 12 to 5, Sundays 12 to 5. And you can call 617-666-9810. Their website is somervillemuseum.org. It's a lovely little space. And somebody put together a nice picture postcard of some of the different places of worship in and around Somerville. The next event at the Somerville Early Music Afternoons with Duo Marisian will happen in March. I was there last Sunday, and La Cetera, the Lear, Italian Baroque Gems with Aldo Abreu on recorder, and he joined Carol Lewis on viola da gamba and Olav Chris Henriksen on lute, throbo, and baroque guitar. And they played all this wonderful music. It was really gorgeous. So we're going to hear some music from that. Let's see, what do I want to play? I think most of these pieces are fairly short. Let's go look here and see. Ah, okay, so, all right, we'll try this one. Thank you. Wow. That's pretty beautiful. His flute playing just kind of blew me away. It was just his technique and his tone. It just, can't imagine you could get that much sound out of a flute. pretty fabulous. All right, we're going to go in a little bit different direction, but still, you know, still with some guitar. I'm still dealing here with just one deck, so it takes me a little bit to switch things. Usually there are two, and it says CD3 is stopping mid-track, and trapping CDs, so that's not good. I don't want to lose my CDs. Then you have to wait for somebody to open up the CD player to get it out. Terrible. Okay, so let's see. Let's do this one.
When I hit the broad highway, the winds of change turn strong and strange. I leave my childhood behind until I spy the light of day, dreaming of treasures to find. If I had a silver dollar, I'd spend it on the one I love. If it's stuck in a lonesome holler, I wish it on the morning dove. If I had a silver dollar, I'd spend it on the one I love. If it's stuck in a lonesome holler, I wish it on the morning dove. Miles soon slid beneath my feet. Time slipped through my fingers. Every sweet temptation I met gave me cause to linger. Not many a wilder youth than I. I'll ride on the dark till the night I die. Till the night I die. If I had a silver dollar, spend it on the one I love. If it's stuck in a lonesome holler, wish it on a morning dove. If I had a silver dollar, spend it on the one I love. If it's stuck in a lonesome holler, wish it on the morning dove. One I love. If it's stuck in an awesome holler, wish it on a morning dove. If I had a silver dollar, spend it on the one I love. If it's stuck in a lonesome holler, wish it on the morning dove. If I had a silver dollar, spend it on the one I love. If it's stuck in a lonesome holler, wish it on a morning dove. If I had a silver dollar, spend it on the one I love. If it's stuck in a lonesome holler, wish it on the morning dove. Wish it on the morning dove. Wish it on the morning dove.
Okay, so David Broza, I got to hear him live in concert over at Temple Ohave Shalom. It was a wonderful show. He had this percussion section from Cuba, and they really rocked. So this is called The Set List, is the name of the release, and Night Dawn was that selection. So there's something that's going to be missing in the Somerville area that some of you people may know about, and I want to just share something about that. Sad to see it go. This is something from the digboston.com, and my friend Mark cut this out for me. So Landmark Bakery says goodbye to its Camberville home by Diego Marcano. So it's Somerville, Cambridge line, actually. On a busy winter morning, the orders come fast. Greta and Andrew Platt stand on opposite sides of a wooden table packed with containers of freshly baked biscuits, homemade pimento cheese, and smoked salmon spread. Greta glides through the bakery with avocado toast in hand. Andrew tracks the inventory on a small whiteboard. In a coordinated manner, they service all the orders. Then he reaches for his winter coat and kisses her goodbye. For the past 8 months since the landlord issued an eviction letter asking them to vacate the property, the couple has been scouting places to relocate the biscuit. Their 15-year-old family-owned bakery on the border between Cambridge and Somerville. The landmark spot opened for the last time at 406 Washington Street on Sunday, December 29th. When the 10-year lease Andrew and Greta had signed for the bakery's current location expired in 2014, the landlord, Dwyer Family Trust, refused to sign a new one. So the couple ran the bakery as tenants at will. For 5 years, on the first day of each month, they'd have a check ready to be collected by the landowner, not knowing if they would be able to open their business the next day. Terrible. It's not uncommon for this stuff to happen, but it doesn't make sense, Andrew said. We have a viable business. If they wanted to hike the rent, we can pay the hiked rent. If they wanted to negotiate something, but they don't want to negotiate anything. And they're exercising their right to remove us from the property. It is not clear what the landowner intends to do with the property once it is vacated. The Dwyer Family Trust could not be reached for comment. Greta and Andrew started the biscuit back in 2004 with loans from family and friends. They bought Panini, a bakery that had been in the space for 13 years. One night, the owners of Panini closed. The next day, Greta and Andrew opened the biscuit. We inherited a lot of the recipes so that the customers would still be able to get their cinnamon twists and lemon scones in the morning, Greta said. In time, the biscuit expanded its menu and space. Andrew and Greta added soups and salads to the list of choices and built a deck so customers could sit on the patio. I used to love to go there, especially in the summer. It was really delightful. For a long time, we didn't do biscuits, and people said, well, the name is The Biscuit. How come you don't have biscuits? So now we have them, Greta said. The biscuit was a small and cozy place. The bakery and coffee shop welcomed people at 7 a.m. with the smell of croissants, lemon scones, and its signature brioche bread, which Andrew bakes the same day while most people are sleeping. On Friday morning, I saw why many acknowledge the biscuit as part of the social fabric of the neighborhood. About 20 heads packed in the place, making it a full house, their chatter merging with the reverberating sounds of steaming milk and brewing coffee. An aroma of hot chocolate filled the air. More customers line up and purchase to go. A table that regularly sat three people hosted 10 seniors, who followed through with a suggestion on the signs on the tables. When the cafe is crowded, please share your table. You might even make a friend. For the past 8 months, Greta and Andrew have gone through the highs and lows. They've also imagined themselves doing other things. But once they started hearing comments of appreciation from customers and neighbors, they decided to attempt a comeback. We realized that we created here something really splendid that people really caught on to and enjoyed. And it gives us tremendous satisfaction, Andrew said as he placed a biscuit in a red basket ready to be served. In the wake of the biscuit's closure, almost 100 people have expressed their support on Nextdoor, a social network service for neighborhoods. I hope the landlord will reevaluate, knowing that the biscuit is an integral part of our neighborhood and community, writes Cheryl Levinson, a Cambridge resident. Another entry reads, the biscuit was a beautiful, comfortable place to relax in, and they had great food, including delicious homemade pastries, sandwiches, pizza, etc. I'm very sad to see it go. Suze Waltz, a Cambridge resident, joined the conversation, saying, I love biscuit and will support any help they can get. Those who want to back the biscuit will get a chance to do it. Greta and Andrew started an Indiegogo campaign they've called The Biscuit Interrupted to raise money, with the goal of helping with the renovation costs of a new space that would host them in 2020. Each donation will be rewarded with a gift card of greater value than the donation, redeemable at the new spot. So far, the crowdfunding campaign has raised $12,055, and more than 150 people have contributed, and they have also investors supporting a comeback. The outpouring of love and support has been great, Andrew said. We have every intention of starting another biscuit as soon as possible, as close as we can possibly get to here, so we don't lose our customer base. 2 days before the New Year's Eve, the company's 12 staffers woke up unemployed. Still in the hope of reinventing their venture somewhere else, Andrew and Greta are taking everything with them, tables, chairs, mixers, and their big wooden table. Everything but the French steam oven that has been there since the early days. I know Greta agrees with me that there is a sense of liberation about this, as devastating as it is, Andrew said. I think it's a good thing because every business that's been open for 15 years has to reinvent itself and figure out what works and what doesn't work, Greta said. Meanwhile, we'll be working toward this new project, building our new menu and figuring out new things. So again, it's the, that site is, where did it go? Indiegogo. So I'm sure if you Google The Biscuit, you'll find, if you want to help them out, because it really was a wonderful place. All right, so, WMFO Medford, you're listening to The Voicemobile.
The higher yichtavano, yichtavano.
Okay, that was Shalomit and Rebbe Sol. Tzur Manati is the name of that selection. And it's off of a CD called The Seal of Solomon. All right. I'm freezing. It's really cold in here. I don't know why it's so cold. Kvetch, kvetch. All right, so still winter, I think. Yes. Okay, so Rhythm Future Quartet, that's a Jason Anik composition. It's called Still Winter, and I'm feeling it. It's from a CD release called Travels. Okay, so I want to share a little article from the Metro section of the Boston Globe from Needham. Show support for victims of New York attack. Abigail Feldman is the Globe correspondent who wrote this. A crowd have gathered outside the Chabad Jewish Center just after sunset Sunday. Let's see, what date was this? This was, well, it wasn't this past Sunday, I know that. I don't have a date on here, unfortunately. Just after sunset Sunday to light a menorah. Oh, of course it was during Hanukkah. In support of the victims of an attack the day before on a rabbi's home in Muncie, New York. Standing before the more than 50 people, Rabbi Mandy Krinsky imparted a message of hope. Do a little good, and it'll dispel a little darkness, Krinsky said before the crowd. You'll be surprised what a lot of light can do. The ceremony took place on the eighth and final evening of Hanukkah, the most powerful night of the celebration, according to Krinsky, who has led the center for about 20 years. In an email announcing the gathering, Krinsky said he hoped the community could make a statement and fight hate with light and love. We feel it's necessary to get the community together and to pray, he said in a phone interview before the event. But we're also going to dance because we can't be intimidated. We can't be defined by anti-Semitism. The lighting was held less than 24 hours after a machete-wielding man barged into a New York home where members of an Orthodox Jewish community were celebrating Hanukkah. Five were stabbed, one of whom was critically wounded, officials said. Saturday's attack was the most recent in a string of attacks on Jews in the region. On December 10th, six people were killed when a gunman opened fire at a kosher supermarket in Jersey City, New Jersey. About a month ago, a man was stabbed in Muncie while walking to a synagogue. Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York said Saturday that there have been 13 such attacks in the state since December 8th and called the violence an American cancer. Krinsky thanked the two Needham police officers who took part in the Sunday ceremony for their support and protection. The attacks, he said, are particularly painful during Hanukkah, when Jews honor a triumph over an enemy who tried to destroy their community. The victory of the Maccabees over the Syrian army is always deeply meaningful because we have the most light, says Gary Welek of Natick, who attended the lighting with his wife. It takes in a deeper significance in light of news stories that have happened this week. Members of Needham's Chabad community are not strangers to anti-Semitic violence. Krinsky's home was one of two Chabad centers hit by arson in May. Their response was to do good deeds, Needham resident Karen Shapiro said, of the rabbi and his family. I find them inspiring. Members of the center distributed charity boxes, cans of love, as Krinsky called them, during the event, to be filled with money, then donated to a charity of their choice. That's a universal thing that we can all do to counter hate with love, regardless of your religion or what your beliefs are, Krinsky said. But despite the shock of the attacks, many who attended the lighting expressed hope for the future. We've seen this sort of thing time and time again, said Michael Hunno of Westwood. The arc of history bends toward tolerance and understanding between people. I hope so. So again, that's an article from the Boston Globe Metro section by Abigail Feldman. Very nice. So, yeah, things are happening, unfortunately. All right, so here we go. Oh, that's not what I wanted. All right. It's okay. Okay. That was another selection by Jason Anik from the Rhythm Future Quartet. And get something else here ready for us to go. While I'm doing that, here is something you should know. Dial 911 for emergencies. Are you a student living off campus? Do you know what number to dial in case of an emergency? To ensure that you get police, fire, or medical help quickly and most efficiently, if you are off campus, dial 911. A public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. It also says that although dialing your college's public safety number will eventually send emergency services, there may be a delay in getting the needed resources to you. Those seconds may be extremely important if it means life or death. So if you have an off-campus emergency, dial 911. All right. Okay, let's see. So it doesn't give me, let's see, 1, 2, I think it's 3 back from the, let's see if this is the right one, 1, 2, I think it is, all right, so.
The pain inflicted again and again. What do they call me? My name is Aunt Sarah. My skin is yellow. Between two worlds, I do belong. My father was rich and white, and he forced my mother late one night. What do they call me? Sweet, sweet, skin is brown. My manner is tough. I'll kill the first mother who messes with me, 'cause my life has been much too rough. I'm awfully bitter these days, 'cause my parents were slaves. What do they call me? My name is Peaches.
That's very haunting. It's a Nina Simone composition for women. Madeline and Solomon are the artists. It's a release called A Woman's Journey. It's really quite exquisite. All right, so last night I saw a program on WGBH, and I'm forgetting the exact name of it, but it was about that they wanted them to bomb the Auschwitz. There was a whole desire once two witnesses managed to escape from Auschwitz and wrote a report up and tried to get it out to, you know, all the Western, to Europe and America and all the bumbling things that nobody would do anything. They would not divert resources away from the bombing to stop that. And it was a terrible, terrible moral failure that you can imagine. Anyway, it was pretty difficult to watch. So we were at the anniversary of the Russians liberating Auschwitz. Okay.
Esprant, Pridelach, esprant. Oi unser Orem Stettel nebech brant. Beise Windin mit ihr gosen, reisen, brechen und zerblosen, starken auch die wilde Flammen, als darum schein brant. Und ihr steht unter, mit verlegter Hand. Und ihre Städten guckt, als bei sich unser Städtel brennt. Es brennt, Friedelach, es brennt, bei unserem Städtel Nebuch brennt. Soben scheint die Feierzungen, das ganze Städtlein geschlungen, und die Mäuse wind in Huschen, unser Städtel brennt. Und ihr steht und guckt, was weiß ich, mit verlegter Hand. Und ihr steht und guckt, als weiß ich, unser Städtel brennt. Es brennt, Friedelach, es brennt. Es kann Cholile kommen der Moment. Unser Stadt mit uns zusammen soll auf Aschau weg in Flammen bleiben soll, wie noch a Schlacht, nor Post der schwarze Wand. Und ihr steht und guckt, was weiß ich, mit verlegter Hand. Und ihr steht und unser Städtel brennt. Es brennt, Friedelach, es brennt. Die Hilfe ist nur in euch allein gewähnt. Ob das Städtel ist euch teuer, nehmt die Kehlen, löscht das Feuer, löscht mit euer eigen Blut, ma weiß, dass ihr das kennt. Steht mit Frieden rot, als weiß ich, mit verlegter Hand. Steht mit Frieden, löscht das Feuer, unser Städtel brennt.
Okay, that was Scott Sokol on the solo for that as Brent. It's a Mordechai Gibritting composition. It's from Zemir Karel, Songs of the Ghettos and the Camps. Here are voices. So I'm going to go to something now that's from the Kligelgorf. I keep saying it wrong. Kissel Goff Archive. There we go. All right. There we go.
Oh, היום